or they knew someone who was sick, they brought them to Jesus, believing that he would heal them. If they were bound by demons, that he would set them free. And whatever their needs were, and we know thousands of people would come here, hear him preach. Obviously, he had something to say that affected people and their emotions and imparting wisdom to them that they could apply in their lives to overcome difficulties and struggles that they had. And I want us to really enter into that kind of faith, that we can have an encounter with Christ this morning that changes something in our lives that we want to see different. And all of us have something that we'd like to change. Amen? Whether it's a financial situation, an emotional problem, relationship issues, besetting sins, whatever it is, God has power to set us free. God has power to change from within who we are, and we want to approach our faith and approach our relationship with Christ in a way that we believe God is going to make a difference and even stir up faith in today. Today could be the day that we do something differently than we ever have before. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And wherever we're at spiritually, in our spiritual growth and our maturity, God wants us to continue and continuously press on and strive towards the mark of God in the high calling of Jesus Christ. And what we have to understand is we will not make progress spiritually by accident. We will not make progress spiritually unintentionally. We have to resolve in our minds, like Paul said, I press on towards the mark. I keep moving. I keep working towards what God has called me to be. In faith, like we just talked about, that what I need to change will change. And we believe that God can do miracles inside of our hearts to change us and make us a different person. And there's a woman who was a long-distance swimmer in the 1950s named Florence Chadwick. And she swam back and forth across the English Channel. And, you know, if I swam across my backyard pool, I need to take a break. but she was obviously quite an athlete. And she came to the U.S. and tried to swim from the island of Catalina to the coast of California. And the day that she chose to swim was a foggy and rainy day. Imagine the luck in California, you get a foggy, rainy day. And she decided to go ahead and do the swim. And after 15 hours, she swam alongside of a boat, you know, so that they could rescue her if she drowned. And she didn't know where she was because she couldn't see through the fog. And her coach encouraged her to keep swimming, that she was closer than she realized. And finally, after 15 hours, she gave up and climbed into the boat. And it ended up she was less than a mile away from the coast, which she could have easily made if she had kept heart and kept pressing on. And many Christians become like that. We're stuck in a fog of uncertainty about what's happening to us spiritually. You know, we struggle with challenges, and we never know, and this is the most difficult part of our faith. We never know when the trial we're in is going to be ended, right? We never know. In the midst of it, it seems like this is I'm never going to get the victory. I'm never going to overcome this. And I wonder how often we give up when we are really close to having the breakthrough that God has for us. And we want to keep on pressing. Keep our faith that even if it's a really long time, God has the strength to impart to us to keep going and keep moving. And so I want to talk about just a few things that we can do from a practical sense to help us keep our faith built up so that we'll keep pressing. And first of all is to have a vision for your spiritual destiny. You know, each one of us here today, we have a destiny in Christ. God has set us aside and called us unto himself for a purpose. And Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so we have a spiritual destiny to be conformed to the image of Christ. And if we look at ourselves, you know, I'll just talk about me. If I look at myself, and think in terms of how much am I like Christ, you know, that can be discouraging. Because the answer is not very much at all, to be perfectly honest. You know, I'm so unlike Christ that it's almost a comical idea. But God's destiny for us is that we would become like Jesus. And we are, all of us have a physical destiny, right? And if you look at a picture of my dad when he was my age, he looks just like me. Or I look just like him. And you know, one of my sons here looks pretty much like I did when I was his age, and his older brother looks like me. They're just real skinny, you know. I'm heavier. My daughters look just like my wife. And why? Because there's a physical DNA, a genetic destiny that was passed from parent to child that determines what they're going to look like. We're born again into God's family. And we are His children with a spiritual DNA that no matter where we're at in the process today, eventually we're going to look just like Jesus. And we want to have a vision that allows us to see that I'm moving towards something. God has something for me, and I'm not going to give up on what God has for me. I'm not going to quit because there's something that God has put inside me. The Holy Spirit, just like the DNA that's inside of us physically that causes us to look a certain way, there's a Holy Spirit inside of me that is going to cause me to end up being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And we can't give up on that vision no matter what the voices around us tell us. If you know who Steve Harvey is, he's the host of Family Feud, and he has a radio show, and he does some comedy specials. You can't watch those are really foul. if you ever look him up on YouTube and you start to listen, it's like, oh, okay, that's, God bless Steve. But I heard a story that he told when he was in grade school. His teacher asked all the kids to write down on a piece of paper what they wanted to be when they grew up. And so he wrote, I want to be on TV. And so the teacher had all the other students read off their papers. And when she got to Steve, she said, Steve, stand up. And she said, Steve, do you know anybody who's on TV? No. Do you know anything about getting on TV? No. And she said, you need to take this note home to your parents and come back tomorrow and write something down that's realistic, because this is silly. So he went home and gave the note to his dad, and his dad looked at the paper and he said, Steve, just write down whatever your teacher wants, policeman or a fireman or whatever, and take that in so you don't get in trouble. He said, I want you to take this piece of paper that says I want to be on TV and keep it someplace special, and don't ever forget that this is what you want. And if you know his story, there were times when he lived in a car, and he quit his job to become a comedian and lived in a car for a while, and, you know, really went through some difficulties and trials. But today, Steve Harvey's on TV every day, and he has sells books, best-selling book author, and all kinds of things. And we can't get stuck with the obstacles that we have to overcome, and looking at where we are now, and allow that to keep us from having a vision for what God is calling us to become. And we want to keep pressing on and have that vision. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so Jesus becomes our vision and our motivation to keep pressing on. As he went to the cross to fulfill his destiny, we take ourselves to the cross and crucify whatever it is that's not like Jesus so we can fulfill our destiny. Secondly, we want to focus on our inner self. You know, when we're struggling with difficulties and challenges of life, whether they're self-inflicted or otherwise, it's easy to focus on the outward circumstances and outward behaviors. But God ultimately is concerned with who we are on the inside. And we want to make sure that as we are focusing on the image of Christ and pressing toward the mark, that we don't get so focused on outer behaviors that we forget to focus on who we are inside. In Luke chapter 11, verse 37, Jesus is speaking, and it says, "And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner." So can you imagine Jesus comes over to your house to have dinner, and he sits down to eat. And of all the things that really impresses you, the one thing he notices, this guy doesn't wash his hands. I mean, you're missing the point, right? You know, he has more to offer you than whether or not he's washing his hands. The Pharisees were obsessed with these outer manifestations of obedience to the law. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." And think here for a moment. He points out a practice that they have of tithing mint and rue and herbs of the garden. Has anybody here ever bought one of those little spice gardens from Walmart that you put up in your window, and you can grow mint and you can grow rue and things like that? If you haven't, these plants, once they grow and you cut the leaves, you have to dry them so you can use them for spices. They don't weigh anything, right? You'd have to put them on a digital postal scale to even register a weight. And Jesus points out, you take this little tiny powder of mint and you divide out a tenth of it so that you can pay your tithes faithfully. You're so concerned with this outward manifestation of the law. And he says that you forget about justice and peace. In another gospel, it says you forget the weighty matters of the law. Something that weighs something that matters, right? Is God offended somehow? If somebody gives me a dollar and I forget to put 10 cents in the offering plate, you know, is God looking at me and saying, "Your heart's not right"? But wouldn't he rather that I focus on justice and mercy and peace and love? And we want to look on the inside and not be so focused on the outside. We know, anybody who's been around church for a while, we know how to act like good church people. Regardless of what's going on inside here, we know how to come and present the right image that's going to be acceptable to our church peers. And it's so easy, once we perfect that, to forget about what's really going on inside and become confident in ourselves. And so we look at people, "Oh, that guy smokes. What's wrong with him? What this person, they listen to music they listen to. Oh my goodness." Mm-hmm. And forget about what's really going on inside. This is why Jesus said, if you have lust in your heart, it's as if you're committing adultery.
Right.
He said, if you're possessed with anger, if you're so angry at somebody that you would verbally attack them, it's the same morally as if you were physically attacking them. Why? Because it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of who you are on the inside, not the outside. And so what do we do? If there's something inside of me that is not like Christ, how do I bring that to the cross and crucify it so that I can be changed? How many of you know that there's more to it than just saying, "Okay, I want to change"?
Right.
If it was just a matter of, okay. But we have to have God do something supernatural to make us different. And the Bible says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." And so we have to come to God and ask by the grace of God that he would grant us, and the Bible says this, that he would grant us repentance, that we would come to a place of genuine repentance by the power of God, by faith, so that we could really change and become a different person. And if we come to him in faith and humble ourselves and draw near to him, He will lift us up. And we need to keep our faith when times are difficult so that God can use those circumstances to form a Christ-like character in us. Psalm 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's the faith I was talking about at the beginning of the sermon. We have to believe, no matter what trials we're going through today, that God is going to reveal His goodness to us. And that we'll come to the end of that trial and have the victory in the name of Jesus. If we don't, we'll get discouraged and give up. And so we have to stay in the Word and keep our faith stirred up. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Keep our faith stirred up and our faith built up so that when we're going through a trial, we don't give up. And I remember a few years ago when Jennifer and I lived in Florida, we went through 3 Category 4 hurricanes in 6 weeks. And some people disappeared from church and we never saw them again. And some people drew closer to the Lord than ever before. And what was the difference? The difference was some people allowed themselves to get discouraged by their circumstances and allowed that discouragement to affect their relationship with God. And we have to believe that even in the difficult times, God still loves us and God is still for us. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So, we have faith, and if you serve the Lord for some period of time, you can look back at trials that you've gone through and see how God used them to change you. And you don't necessarily think, well, I'd like to go through that again, but you know and you're glad that what happened and what came of it took place. And so you can take that perspective, and then when you're in a trial today, say, I'm not happy this is happening, but I'm happy to know that God can use it for His purpose. And James wrote in James chapter 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so, you know, it's almost comical to suggest that we are happy to go through trials, right? Because if it was pleasant, we wouldn't call it a trial. We'd call it something else. But the Bible tells us, have a good attitude, count it joyful to go through trials, because something is going to get perfected in you as a result of the trial. If we have faith, if we keep close to the Lord, if we are submissive to His will, whatever circumstances and trials we're going through today are going to produce something good for us if we keep the faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul wrote, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So this is the ultimate desire of God as we go through trials, that we would come to the place where we despair of trusting in ourselves so that we can trust in God who raises the dead. And He is going to raise up Christ in us. He's going to resurrect Jesus Christ in our lives as we put to death ourselves. As we just keep the faith, even when we despair. And I know there are times when I face trials, or even hearing, you know, somebody trying to say these encouraging verses, it's offensive to you. You can get so discouraged that somebody trying to pat you on the back and say, hey, you know, Dave, don't get discouraged, you just feel like telling them to shut up and leave you alone. Okay, it's not just me. And I want to tell you, that is the place I believe Paul was in when he wrote those words. We were despairing of life. And he said, why? So we would learn to trust in God who raises the dead and not ourselves. And let God raise up your faith today. Stir up your faith today. You know, I think of Jesus when he approached a man who'd been lame for 38 years and he asked him, do you want to be made whole? And I think that in our discouragement, and he was so discouraged, he said, well, even if the angel troubles the water, I can't get in there first. You know, maybe that's your situation today. You don't even believe in what you're trying to do anymore. But God can send Jesus to you and today make you whole. I want us to pray this morning. Father, your Spirit can do whatever miracles we need today to give us the victory over our trials and our circumstances. And I pray, God, that you would minister by your Holy Spirit to each person here. God, that you would impart encouragement to the discouraged. Lord, healing to the sick. Financial blessing to those who are in need. God, peace to those who are in turmoil and relationships and challenges in life. And that, God, your word and your will would be performed as we turn to you, God, and let you stir up faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray.